This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fungela, we are back with another episode. This one is very special. We have my friend Kathy Heller on the pod. She is a podcaster herself. She is an author. She wrote this book, Abundant Ever After, Tools for Creating a Life of Prosperity and Ease. This conversation that we had is so magical. I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. I teared up multiple times. The flame in me was fanned multiple times, like that inspiring flame that just gets you fired up for life was really just, I am at a loss for words. I loved this conversation so much. The first time I met Kathy was on her podcast, and I loved that conversation so much. And since then, becoming friends with her, I am so grateful that she was here on Fungela. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear this. Don't forget I'm on tour. Go to my website, angela.com. See when I'm coming to a city near you. If you want to call me or email, tell us what you're grateful for, what you're mad about, you have a question for us, Danielle, give them that information.
Yes, so give us a call at 747-300-5380 or go to angela.com and submit there, or just email us the old-fashioned way at fungelapodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, call us, email us, website us.
Okay, sure.
And don't forget to leave a review, too. Go to Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. Tell everybody why you love this podcast and which one was your favorite. And follow us Instagram, TikTok. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. All the things. Thank you so much for listening. You're really going to enjoy this episode with the one and only Kathy Heller.
Wait, so this has been 1 year? 1 year and a half. How long have you been doing this?
We celebrated a year, what, in June, I think?
Yeah. So it is like legit a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Because we started doing, we started every other week.
Yeah.
And then we were like,
that was smart.
Let's just
do it. Ease into the commitment.
Yeah, we did.
See if you like it.
It was see what we could handle, really. Yeah, yeah. Like I knew we were liking it.
Yeah.
But it was like, what can we handle? And then also we were on the road. So we started going weekly while we were on tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it's insane that we made that change while on a bus.
Yeah. We're like, you know what?
Let's make it more complicated.
Let's just take something else on. I only have a child and all of this work. But you're the kind of human being that this kind of connecting is your natural state. So for you, it's not really, this is probably the easiest thing you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. I think she's so cute. The hardest part,
you see me, you get me,
is putting makeup on for it.
Sure.
And gluing on eyelashes. I think that's the hardest part.
Damn, do they look good. I really would like to have lashes.
Oh, my lashes right now are like minuscule, so I like have to glue them on, otherwise I look like I'm asleep, you know? So I have to like give myself a little bit of life with some fake lashes, and then sometimes I do them crooked, and I'm just like, well, that's who I am today.
I'm also really curious how this has evolved for you. I mean, separately from this podcast, like this interview, but like I'm so curious how your show has shown you about you, like what's come through.
Show meaning this podcast?
Meaning like what's the conversation that you started having And what has it become? Like, I'm just so curious what you found that you like talking about or that the podcast is really about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first,
I'm interviewing her now.
Let's start with this. I love this because this made me want to say to the audience.
Oh, are we already starting?
This is, yeah.
Oh, that's how it rolls. It's just, let's go.
Yeah.
I love you.
We met because I was a guest on your podcast and I was trying to think, how did I even get on your podcast?
I freaking loved that conversation. It was like 14 seconds and I'm like, I love her.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we fell in love immediately.
Immediately. You were like on Zoom, like in your room or something that. It was very cash. And you just have such a connection to God that you don't even have to say it. It's just you. Like, you're plugged into the magic of how this universe works in such an embodied, real effing way that I was like, I love you. And I love the way you just like have the gratitude for where you're being led and like your divine GPS. And I was like, oh, this is a person who's like, I feel seen in your presence and I love the way you see the world. And you're such a manifester because you're so available to see beyond what you see with your eyes. And I'm like, and the way you told your story was so indicative of that. Right. None of this was supposed to happen.
Sure.
It just happened because you followed the breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Following the breadcrumbs. I feel like tell me, is this just me or is it lots of people? Have you ever had an experience with this? I feel like as I've gotten older, my ability to follow the breadcrumbs or my
trust in it,
something like I feel like I fall off. And then when I have those moments where I'm retelling my story, like when we had that conversation, I get reminded of my I can do this. Like, and it starts like vibrating inside and reminding me of how like hungry I was and just passionate and just like, where is it? Like looking for the breadcrumbs. That's what I think it is. I think I'm not actively looking for breadcrumbs in this stage of my life as I was when I was in my early 20s, looking for breadcrumbs, actively like being out at a store, listening, ears perked, like total intuitively, like who am I locking eyes with and be like, what is this about?
Right.
Like,
you're like talking dirty to me right now. Yeah. This is like... This is like, yes, like that's it. Yes, yes. Keep going.
Okay,
finish the thought.
But I feel like I've fallen off of that. And I don't know. I don't want to blame everything on, I've become a mom, so I'm busy and I focus everything on
her
now.
Blah,
blah,
just
blah,
blame
blah.
Her. It's easy.
You know, it's super easy to do that. But I feel like it's even been before
that. Yes, now I hear.
All the things like becoming maybe a little jaded, a little...
Yep.
Just routine, comfortable.
Yes, it's familiar now.
Familiar.
Yeah, here's what it is, my humble opinion. I feel like, okay, so you get a little plant from Trader Joe's, like as you're walking out, and then that is in a tiny pot.
Yeah.
And then in its design, it's meant to outgrow that pot.
Sure.
So like if you're doing it well, which I never do, they always die like sitting in front of my sink, right? Uh-huh. And they never make it to the earth. But they're meant to like make it to the earth, and then they're meant to take up even more space. Like, we on the soul journey are meant to keep expanding. So early on, you're talking about this season in your life in your 20s where you knew there was a bigger operating system than the one you were operating from. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I'm ready to do the control alt delete on the Angela ego identity and upgrade her because my soul is like bigger than this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you were like looking for like, okay, God, meet me and show me because I know it. Then... Mm-hmm. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
You moved into like the more expanded version of your identity and you loved it and you felt that feeling of like, this is new and I've got this and oh my God, it's just coming from intuition and I'm meant to be in this place and things are just moving and grooving. And then that became familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is because we have this like human brain, this amygdala thing that wants to keep you safe, it says, okay, don't you go doing that thing again where you completely control alt delete. Because like now you have a life that like requires you to operate here, right, Angela? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Don't go ahead and just like burn this to the ground and do this all over again because you have a lifestyle. People count on you. You have material that you do. Oh, that material works. Why would you try something new? Even when you probably do that, you're like, I already know what gets the laugh. It's like, no, because you're a creative person, which means your next joke hasn't been written. The best joke hasn't been written yet. Always, yeah, right? Always, yeah, always, always. Yeah. Like those of us who just watched the Billy Joel documentary, like he continued to like have his eras, right? Where he was like, I can't believe the critics are going to go crazy because I'm completely changing course. But of course, because the creative in you wants to keep creating. And how do we create? We emulate God. And what does God do? Like continue to turn nothing into something. And so, but the amygdala part of our brain says to us, what is familiar is safe. And so what is new can't feel safe. And then you're like, okay, now I'm in this like rock and hard place between I know what it feels like when I'm manifesting. And part of it is I'm taking my hands off the wheel of control. Like we were just in Switzerland and there's all these paragliders in Interlaken. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful that like they make it look like nothing. They're literally jumping off the Alps.
Wow.
But they make it look, it's just so effortless and beautiful.
Like they're just going for a jog.
Just like, yeah. My daughter who's 8 is like, I want to sign up. And I was almost like at the booth and I was like, should I really like let you jump off a mountain? Like you're 8. Maybe we should wait till you're like 16. Sure. Right. So I like rolled that back. But why do people love that experience? For it's only 15 minutes because you let go of control. Feels so good. You're letting yourself be led by the unknown, which is really surrendering to God, which is really saying, whatever my human physical eyes can see, God wants to give us so much more than that all the time. Like what we see is like the floor, basically, of our desire. And he's like, you don't even perceive it as big, right? Yeah. And the idea Kabbalistically, like what we know from like the Judeo-Christian like essence of how divine this divinity is that it's kind of like, and I talk about this in my book, like because God wants to give us an infinite amount of grace at all times, God is basically just looking for a vessel to pour that through. And every one of us is wired to a certain amount of capacity to be a vessel. So some people, they're like a light bulb that can hold 45 watts.
Right.
And some people have 100 watts. And in humility, they want to be shining whatever. You do that. You get on stage and it's not look at me. It's come with me, guys. Mm-hmm. Your whole show is like, we talked about it.
Yeah.
It's a family.
Yeah.
Everyone leaves there feeling like, wait, did I just walk into an arena with 8,000 people who are strangers? And I walked out feeling like, we all laughed at the same jokes. I felt connected. I felt like she on stage saw me. Mm-hmm. That's being a vessel. Because you're not saying, hey, look at me. Like, I need your attention. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I want to take whatever this gift is. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, like, amplify the light in all of us right now, which is so beautiful, right? And that's what generous people are willing to be humble enough to be a vehicle for the most amount of light, energy, love, abundance, and that then just creates more of that for the collective, for whoever you're with. You can feel in a second when you're with somebody who has constricted energy, it's heavy. After 10 minutes of talking to that person, we don't need to both say who that person is in our life, you need a nap. You're like, I'm drained. And then people who are generous and the way that they receive is on behalf of for everyone, when you're around them, you just feel like you could take on the world, right? You're just like, let's freaking go. Just their energy alone. So what is happening is that at every season in our life, we've built sort of a way where we expand to a certain level. And then there's actually more. There's actually like the next iteration of who we're going to be. And that's so exciting and scary because it's like, but this is familiar. Right. And so we actually talk ourselves out of it. So what's happening when you're describing that, I think, is like, I used to just know how to do this.
Yeah.
But now I feel responsible to keep things as they are because I have like a big lifestyle now, or I have certain people who expect me to be Angela 1.0 and she's great.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but what would it look like if you like 2.0'd your whole life? And this podcast, by the way, I'm so proud of you for starting it because at the time, now it's like you got this and it feels really like in lockstep with everything. But at the time it felt like, wait, I'm going to go from making people laugh to having these conversations. Is that different? And it was at first. And then you realized, oh, no, this is totally just an easy extension of whatever else I'm doing. And so that's what's going to keep coming. Like,
especially because I knew I didn't want this podcast to just be a funny comedy podcast, like a comedian's podcast where you expect like, oh, we're just going to laugh the whole time and it'll be like silly talk about nothing, which sometimes we do be silly and talk about nothing.
Great.
But I wanted this podcast to be more depth and heart. And it's the same thing, like when I'm at a public event, I have such a hard time because the surface networking conversations,
I can't.
It hurts.
Well, like, everyone's performing. So you're like, so I hard. Just, yeah, like my dad died last summer, not to bring the mood down. But it was actually like when you love someone and they die, you feel so close to God. It's actually, for anyone who's had that experience in a hospice room, it's both the worst week of your life and the most meaningful, best love you've ever felt for someone. It's just like amazing. But I remember when people came to the funeral, I loved how real everyone was. Mm. I loved that no one walked in with small talk. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, could we not have these kinds of reasons to meet, but could we all be this way together? Because like, what are we doing when we're not just like, hi, how are you really? Oh, here's how I really am. Oh, I'm here for that. Like, let me. And I love that you're having real conversations. And we talked about how I think Pete Holmes is such a good example of like, I mean, you guys actually have so much in common. Like,
we just had him on
the podcast. Oh, that's so cute.
He's great.
He's so great because, I mean, in his youth, he actually thought about being like a minister or whatever, right?
He was.
Yeah, I think and he again, was. He's like, of course he's that funny because he's that connected, right? But his show is like, I had him on my show and we talked about why he loves doing his show. And it's like, it does make sense. And it's so much more interesting to watch his show and talk to comedians about the way they think consciousness works or why they're even on the planet. Because we've all seen them talk about their shtick. Yeah. Mm. It's so much more interesting to be like, but what makes you get up in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh my God, these people have dimensions and he's willing to go there. So I love that you did this because I feel like what you do that's so different and unique from anybody is you come from a family where family is the gospel. It just is. No matter quirks, right, wrong, whatever. It's like, we are a family.
Yeah.
And it could like make me cry, but like the world is so missing that.
Mm.
And what you do that you don't even realize you do is you make people feel like they belong in this family with all their stuff. And then there's this feeling of like, oh, I'm accepted here.
Yeah.
And you're like, of course you're crazy. We're all crazy. And that's part of what makes it awesome. We can make fun of each other.
Yeah.
But this is like called unconditional love. And I think that that's very unique to you. And I don't think you maybe, I think you get it a little, but I don't think you realize that when people leave your show without you saying that, they felt like, oh, I've needed to be reminded that like there is a place for me. Right. And because you have this like, 11 out of 10 feeling of unconditional love from like coming through and growing up in a family where we just show up for each other like that. You're giving that to people as a possibility. And I think it probably makes them better in their own families, whether you know it or not. And it's like, all you thought you were doing was coming to tell some jokes.
Yeah.
But there's a way in which you can like make a joke about your aunt. And you know it's like, because I love this woman, that I can like, that's why I can do this.
Yeah.
Because I've got her back.
Yeah, totally.
People don't have that. So it's pretty cool that you, and then I think that's why you wanted to add the like, what are you grateful for? What makes you pissed? And I remember at your show in Pasadena, that first live show that you did.
Yeah.
It's like, you were like, let's just be curious. How's this going to go? And people laughed so hard at the things that people said because you realize we're all the same. We're all thinking the same stuff. So it makes you feel again like I'm not alone. And that's your whole, whether you know or not, like your whole show is you belong here. You're not alone. Like you think you're weird and crazy, we're all weird and crazy, and it's okay.
First of all, thank you for those words. You're welcome. Thank you for affirming me. And
it's so easy to love you. You're very
reminding
lovable.
My insides.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank
you're on
you for
a,
that.
You're on a cool mission, whether you know it or not.
Appreciate you. Thank you. I feel like in my depths, I know. And then in the craze of everyday life, you forget. And you're like, wait, why am I? Oh, yeah. Okay. Wait, what am I? Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's true.
You know,
we all have this, like, it's almost like this anti-self, right? You know, it's interesting. I just learned this week. Like, I always study, like, I learned in Jerusalem for 3 years, like, in, I learned Hebrew so I could learn the Bible, like, in its original text, which was so inspiring. And then I learned from all these Kabbalists and people, and I've been learning for 25 years. But I just learned this week that the word Satan comes from the Hebrew word Satan. So it's, like, literally, but that word in Hebrew, like, when it's used in its initial context, actually means adversary. That's all it means. Uh-huh. And the Kabbalistic understanding is that, like, we all have this opponent almost inside our head that's still working on behalf of God, because everything works for God, hoping that we're going to play chess better than it. But it's trying to, like, it's trying to, like, be our, like, boxing partner. And, like, if you have a boxing teacher, it's going to give you its best so that you become better.
Sure.
And so, like, we have this part of us that's like, yeah, forget what your purpose is. Just, like, make it about work. Yeah, forget it. And you're like, yeah, yeah. And that feels like the shadow side of all of us. And then you're like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is what I'm really doing here. This now, and it's like, I feel like sometimes we lose hours of our day to this part of our mind that's like stressing about stuff that doesn't matter at all. And then you're like, okay, something just brought me right back to my life force. And like, why I'm here, what I'm doing. You're like, where did that time go? We all have that part of ourselves.
I feel like, bringing it back to, like, the conversation we originally had on your podcast, when I get to tell my own story, I get reminded. Anytime, like, I'm doing some sort of interview and it's, like, you know, the how you got started story. If it's, like, the trimmed down version, give me a quick second, how you got started, that doesn't do it for me. But when we have time to, like, sit and get in it and they're asking me questions about, like, and then what happened after this and then what this and then reminding myself of all the miracles along the way and all of that. And it starts reigniting. And it also reminds me, there's a scripture in the Bible that says they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony. And it's like,
say it again. That's so good.
They overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony. So it's the more I remind myself, I say it out loud and I hear myself say it and I'm reminding myself, it's like I'm overcoming again and again and again.
That's so good. I'm keeping that. And thank you for that.
I forget often. And it's when I'm in those moments that I'm like, oh yeah, this is how you remind yourself of the thing you beat yesterday, the thing you beat last time, how you overcame, how you're still here alive today. When you could have been XYZ, you know what I mean? And we remind ourselves, and that is like that little juice to be like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then vision comes back. Oh, what is the vision? Because I was just saying this recently, like, I think I have lack of vision right now in this season of my life. And you can't manifest what you don't have vision for, is what we were talking about. And it's like, I don't see it. I see the right now. I see the, what is she going to eat for lunch? I see that, okay, I have to pack because then we go to Nashville. Okay. And then I also go to Texas and then I have to pack for that too. Okay. And then I see that, oh, I need to turn in my lease because I'm done with my lease in a couple months, but I won't be here to turn it. So I got to go do that. And then I got to get a rental car. Okay. And then, you know what I mean? It's like all of those things. And I'm like, I only got capacity for this right now. I don't have capacity to be like,
right.
What do you want to do? So what's this next season about?
Right. So this is why, and we've talked about this before, you and I, a few times. This is why, as annoying as this is for me to say, having some kind of 5 minutes, 10 minutes of meditation or prayer or like a sanctuary moment that is non-negotiable in your day is so freaking important. Because when you wake up in the morning, as soon as you freaking open your eyes, there are 26 notifications on your phone, plus everything on your calendar, and all the people who expect you to be in these different roles, your manager, your husband, your day gets hijacked.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. I mean, you've given away your power to all these things. You've co-signed it. You're actually okay with it.
Yeah.
Except now there's no vision because there's no intention being set. So, you know, we've talked about this. Like, for me, one of the things that it's like non-negotiable is like my morning. There's got to be a meeting with myself every morning. Has to be. And that meeting, I'm just going to invite God to that meeting. Right? So we're going to sit down.
We only have one Cal invite, and it's God.
RSVP. Listen, yeah, exactly.
Accept the Google and Cal
he
God.
He always comes. Very, very kind. But, like, you know, it's like you have this one sacred moment where you're like, everything is going to tell me that this is a priority. And the real priority is I'm going to take this attention and this focus and put it right here and say, where would you have me go? What would you have me remember? What do you need me to know today? And what's so powerful about your soul is that within 6 seconds, there's an answer. And then all of a sudden, everything on that to-do list, first of all, it doesn't have the same urgency. And second of all, it's going to get done. And there's a lightness to it. But what comes in right away is, oh, I just perceived what I actually need my focus to be on. And sometimes, by the way, the vision, this is so deep, but like we live in a culture where it's always about like performance. Sometimes the season is my goal right now is not my next Netflix, you know, show. My goal is working on setting this boundary with this family member, right? Like there's the physical aspect and there's the spiritual aspect. And so there are seasons in our life, like, before I mentioned my father's death, there was a season in my life where he was sick and I knew that in order to complete our soul contract, I had to be more honest with him. And I was always like trying to be this really like sweet pleaser girl because my parents got divorced when I was little. And so in order to like keep things status quo, I was always a certain version of myself around him. And he died in July, and in April, the April prior, I knew he was getting sicker. And I've known since I'm probably 23 that, like, I'm not being fully myself. But I just – it felt like showing up authentically in that relationship, it felt like I'd have to move a mountain. Like, it felt what's called impossible.
Did you think you were doing that to protect yourself or to protect him?
Both. You know, it's like like I wanted, there were moments, I mean, I think some of your listeners might relate to, like, there were moments like we'd be in the car and the air conditioning is cold. And he's like, is it cold? I'm like, it's great. It's totally fine. I'm freezing. Right. Why? Because when I was 12, he was cheating on my mom and I saw him in a restaurant with this woman and kept that secret. And then he saw me another time out with his girlfriend and said to me, don't tell mommy. Okay. And so to be good, I like kept a secret.
Yeah.
But that made me feel obviously really violated that like I had to hold this awful secret.
Yeah.
And then when he finally like told my mom when I was 15, I felt like I lied to her and I lied to him. I mean, it can make me cry. And you're an adolescent. You're just trying to figure out who the heck you are.
Yeah.
And that's horrible to put that on a kid. Like, it makes me really upset.
Yeah.
So our relationship was a little bit of a lie. And so in order to like keep, and by the way, a lot of things were happening. Like when he was living this double life, my mom was going through tremendous depression. She knew a lot was wrong. She couldn't figure out all the details.
Sure.
She thought she saw things on credit cards that she didn't understand, like hotel visits. My dad would say he had like a work trip. Like she knew things were going on. She knew there's no secrets in a family. Truly. There's like details, but the secrets are known, right? And I was trying to then take care of my mom. So my mom was spiraling. I'd come home from school. She wasn't doing okay. And so I was like her cheerleader, but my dad would, you know, see me once a week or something. And, you know, we'd have like a dinner and he was a workaholic. And then when he'd be like, I'm so proud of you for keeping this secret. You're doing such a good job. Like
no.
This and that. Right. So I learned that love means you're just not that honest, right? So then I grew up not feeling safe, really, to tell him, like, whatever was the real truth, right?
Yeah.
Because he clearly couldn't handle being in his truth. He couldn't come clean, right? Anyway, it's a whole journey.
Yeah.
And eventually, though, he left that second wife and then married a third wife and started to actually become a better version of himself. And it's really interesting because when he got sick, he was sick with cancer for 5 years. He kept saying, the cancer has cured me.
I am the most in integrity I've ever been.
Wow.
I'm praying every day.
Wow.
He's like, I actually feel like this is a whatever God wants of my life.
Wow.
He goes, I used to wake up with such guilt for who I had been that like now I feel right with God. So I'm ready whenever he wants me. And I just, and I, it was like gorgeous. So for 5 years, I knew I had a window, but I still couldn't do it.
Wow.
Until finally the April before he died, I went to see him and I was like, well, I texted him first. I was like, do you have 30 minutes for like a real conversation? He's like, I have hours. Of course I want a real conversation with you. And I was like, okay, I'll come over. And I kept being like, I can't do this. And my friend Tracy said to me, the 8-year-old version of you can't do this, but the woman that you are can. So walk in like you and just tell the truth from love. And so I sat down with him. I was like, Dad, I don't need you to apologize. I don't need you to do anything. I just need to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like shaking. And he's like, Kath, whatever you need. I go, okay, so that whole thing that happened, and it felt so embarrassing because it was so long. I was like, that was really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm still recovering from that. Like, you know, and there was a million other things. My dad drank. He used to hit us. Like, I mean, it wasn't, you know, in families, there's usually like things. Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. And I was like, and you didn't realize that all those years that you were finding yourself or whatever, going through marriage 2, marriage 3, whatever, I was home with mom and she wasn't really functioning. And I just acted to you like I was okay. I really wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. And I'm now the adult version that's like trying to fix all of that. And my dad was like, literally, he was such a beautiful soul. He's like, he literally said this. He goes, I feel nauseous that you're telling me this, but he goes, and I actually need you to tell me this. He's like, I've always known there's some part of you like keep from me. So he's like, this is such a, it's a gift that you're letting me be close to you. And when I left his house that day, I thought it would be a 30-minute conversation. It was hours. And when my stepmom came in, she's like, oh, do you need your privacy? I was like, I actually want to tell you stuff too. I like let it all. I was like, I go, remember that time we went to the restaurant? You were so mean to the waiter. She was so mad at this waiter because she asked for a vodka cranberry, but light on the cranberry. And the drink was really pink. And she's like, does this look like light cranberry? She was so rude to the waiter. It made me so sick to my stomach. And I couldn't, like, if it was my mom or my sister or you, you would never do that. But I'd be like, bro, what the? With her, I'm always like, oh my God. And so I said to her, stuff like that, I can't. I was like, I need to be honest with you. She goes, yeah, tell me when I'm being a jerk. I go, okay, I will. Like, I don't like that. So I like, and then I told them, you know, bigger things, like things that she had said about my mom for years that I would just be like dying that she's talking crap about my mom. So we had this like amazing conversation. And then when he died, I felt like the girl who was his daughter, that version of me could die too. And then I could just be me. And it was like, I lost 1,000 pounds. It was like, oh my God. Wow. Like walking through the world as your authentic self is the most high you'll ever feel. Wow. Like I stopped drinking. I used to drink wine, like, I don't know, 3-4 times. I don't need it because I'm high on like, oh, I get to just, there's no part of me that feels like I have to be anything other than myself. Mm-hmm. And so I say all of that because A, I think it's a testament to you because I've been on a bunch of podcasts and I think you hold such a sacred space. I've never, ever, ever, ever told that story. So that's you being just your most loving. Also, it's you because you're so available for like really real conversation. So that's a reflection of you. Thank you. Thank you. But I also said that because we can get so caught up in like all that matters is what's Instagram worthy and like I have a book coming out, you know, on 11/11, which by the way is so cool. And your husband's hat said 11/11. And that's my dad's number with me. Anyway.
No way.
And then Simon & Schuster was like, your paperback comes out on 11/11. I'm like, of course it does. They're like, it's just random, but isn't that cool? I'm like, it's not random. But my point is we think that like all that's worthy of vision is like, when's your next book? No, like who you become internally is where the vision needs to be about. Because when you make a change within you, all that other stuff, whatever is meant to be that God has in store for you, that's when it comes, right? So like sometimes you're thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to be in a season of like I told you, because you've been living in Nashville part-time. I went to Nashville to this place called Onsite,
I know about Onsite.
That was one of the best weeks of my life. And you think, how is this productive? How's this going to help me with my manifestation? Oh, Yeah. Because you come correct with yourself and all of a sudden you're like, I now have the real vision.
Mm.
Like when you're operating from the part of you that wants to impress and prove,
yeah,
it's really hard to come up with a vision. But when you come back to like, oh, this is really me. Now you're like, I think I have an idea for a book. I think I have an idea for where we're taking our next trip. I think I have an idea for the fact that we're going off the grid and we're moving away from LA or whatever your next thing is. You can't even get it when you're still operating from the survival version of yourself. Yep. Does that make sense? 100%.
Uh-huh.
So I love that you know what on-site is. I think because when you move to Nashville, everyone talks about it.
Everybody knows about on-site in Nashville. One day I'll do it. Maybe after this tour.
I don't know what it is.
Could you want to explain a little bit about what on-site is? So
there's this amazing human being named Bob Goff, who's a Christian.
Oh, love yes.
Bob. I know. I love him, too.
Yes, I know Bob.
So Bob is, he's been on my show. I ran into him in San Diego, and I walk over. I'm like, do you know who I am? He goes, yes, Gabby, of course I know you. And I was like, you remember me. He's so special. Anyways, he started
real quick,
this thing
fun fact about that, yeah. Since you know Bob Goff. I got a random DM from Bob Goff's Instagram page.
That's such a compliment.
Is it really Bob Goff?
I think it is.
I was
he's
like,
so sincere. I just don't think someone was like, does his social.
This is weird.
No, hold on. You guys.
Am I being hacked right now? Am I being played? Like,
I love
that. And I went to the page. I was like, is this even the real Bob Goff page? But it was the real Bob Goff page.
I love that you and I, we have our version of like Bob Goff, the coolest if it's really people. You. And like, we'd put him on the, like,
yeah.
We're not impressed by like how many followers you have or what your single was on Billboard charts. We're like, how good of a human are you? He's amazing. So he and Miles Adcock started this place called Onsite, which is this like, it's therapeutic. I mean, I'm sure it's Christian based, but everyone's welcome and you feel welcome no matter what you are, because they are so walking like with God in the realest way. And the work you do. So there's like 80 people that show up for a week. Then they put you in groups of 7. And so you get time with the group and then you get time in your small group and you have to give away your phone. You are loved in a way where even the kitchen staff, you're like brought to your needs, how loving every person is. Like it's handpicked. It's a little taste of heaven. It's like heaven. Like you feel like there is a love in this ground that is sacred and allows me to heal. And then you grow in these like small groups and
you're not allowed to tell anybody like what you do or anything.
You can't
right?
say your last name and you can't say what you do. So you're not there as your job. You're there as your you, like just you. And it's actually amazing. Like I did it 5 years ago and I feel like I could use a tune up. I feel like everybody would get something. It's just how powerful is that? You give
how
away
long
your
is it?
Phone.
1 week?
It's a week.
So it's like a retreat kind of. Like
yeah. I think people know what Hoffman is. Hoffman is like in NorCal and it's like a similar thing, but this is different because I think when people add that Bob Goff, like love does like that God piece, it does something for people when it's like real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's more than just we're going to turn our phones off and we're going to like do some activities and meditation. It's like a spiritual realignment with yourself and letting go of performance and letting go of addictions, whether that is substance or cell phone. Like it's just
like the program I did is their like program for people who don't necessarily have an addiction, but we all have like our phones and our patterns of behaviors and all that. And then they have like a actual addiction center, right? Mm-hmm. For people who really need that.
Yeah.
And then they have for like all of us, you know, who have just like the ways in which we abandon ourselves over and over and over again. And it's time to walk that back.
Yeah.
And it's, oh my God, like my moment at on-site, everybody gets a day in the 7 days with your group of 7. Each of you gets a day where you just, the whole room is focused on you and your journey.
Ooh.
And in that day, you pick someone who plays your mom,
ooh,
who plays your dad, and who plays you as a kid. And the therapist, who's also a very spiritual person.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Take me out now.
It's crazy. And so she had me like in the living room with my mom and dad.
Oh.
And then the girl who's playing me, this sweet girl, Alex from Laguna Beach, she's like playing me. She goes, okay, tell the character who's playing your mom what your mom says to her. And tell your dad. And my dad's like saying to her, I don't want to be in this marriage. And, you know, don't tell your mom. And my mom saying, he doesn't love me and I don't feel worthy and all this stuff they keep telling Alex, right? And I'm watching it. And then she says, go over to Alex, who's playing little Kathy. And she says, tell her, you don't have to live here anymore. I'm coming to get you. We're done. And I'm like, what? And she's like, this living room, all of this, you're still living in it inside of yourself. No more. And I was like, okay. So she's like, okay, so what do you want to do with Alex? She's like, go grab her hand and walk out the door. And I'm like, okay. And you realize that all of us are still living in that living room. Like, there is a way in which, and then you substitute your parents for, oh my God, my manager called. I have to call him back. Oh my God. That it's like, whoa, wait a second. I'm going to take all my power back. I'm going to be myself, right? I'm not going to keep recreating this dynamic. Like, this is not a sentence. And so we don't realize, but all of us were little humans at one point who developed based on surviving, like, okay, as long as I act a certain way in this living room, I'll get through it. And then you're 41 and you're like, wait, I'm not in this living room anymore. And I'm free to choose something different. So let's go. But it's so hardwired, yeah. Right? And it feels like death. You're like, I won't survive it if I step out of this. And so, you know, but no, you will. Oh my God. And at the end of onsite, you all walk out as a group of 80 people after a week like this, and somebody plays Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. You know what bagpipes sound like? Mm-hmm. And Bob and Miles say, leave it here. It's done. It's done. That's it. Like, it stays in this ground and everyone's crying, like, leave it here. Like, you're like, there is grace, like, it's done. And you're just like, you don't even want to leave. You're just like, I have to now go back. Am I going to go back into those roles as soon as I go back? But yes, you do a little, but no, you don't. Cause like experiences like that, mm-hmm. You like remember that, yeah. On like a physical, you're like, your cells remember, like, oh, there's no way to unsee.
Sure.
What just happened.
Sure.
And when I came back from onsite, interestingly enough, so I had a podcast, my initial podcast was called Don't Keep Your Day Job. It was about, I used to say, God has assigned you with a purpose. So you don't need a day job. You need to do your life's work. That was what my whole show was about. And I used to encourage people to do whatever was that creative whisper. Like, if you want to write a script, do it. If you want to open a bakery, do it. Like, you don't need to be having your dreams collect dust. You have an assignment for a reason, right? Whatever it is. And when I came back from that trip, I like had the download, like, okay, it's time to actually have a bigger spiritual conversation. And I was afraid, actually. Like, the first 5 years of my podcast, even after like 30 million downloads, I was like, okay, if I start talking about spirituality and God, are people just gonna walk right out the door? And then I was like, but that really is me. And like, mm-hmm. to hold that back and like not talk about all this stuff that I do that seems weird, like meditation and prayer. It's like, but that is me. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when I came back from onsite, the part of me who no longer was in the living room was like, all right, guys, so what if we had a really sexy conversation about like what's going on with inside of us and this and that? And I was like, look, I don't have all the answers. I'm not a priest. I'm not a rabbi. I'm just a person. And people were like, oh, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then I realized people actually like to walk beside someone who's not the guru. It's almost better. You're like, yeah. I'm a hot mess. Mm-hmm. I get anxious all the time.
Yeah.
But here's how I've been like finding my way back to like my higher power. Mm. Maybe this will work for you too. And people are like, thank you so mm-hmm. much. Because we don't want to hear it sometimes from like the person at church. It's almost like you're like, I know, you know better. You know. And then like when this girl who you kind of get, you're like, oh, I watch the same bad reality TV as you, so like, mm-hmm. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
So that's,
you're more
me.
Human.
Yeah, you're flawed, and yeah. like, you're willing to share all of that. So mm-hmm. onsite gave me like the courage, you know.
And I imagine Man, first of all, I got a deep sigh after that. Like, I would love to go experience that. And
yeah, I think that's going to be in your future and you're going to love it. And he DM'd you, so I love that for you.
Well, to be determined. Okay. TBD. We'll find out if I was hacked. But I thought it was so random. I was like, Bob Goff? And let me find the DM, because I remember it was something random where I was like, this doesn't really make sense. I'll look for it after, because that's going to take a long time. Did you reply? No, because it was strange.
She leaves Bob Goff on red. No one does that.
I was like,
you thought you were being scammed.
I thought I was being scammed. It felt weird. So, but I'll show it to you after. But when you're saying, you know, when you come back to reality, you come back into your real lives, do you go back into those roles? And you're like, yes, but no. I imagine that we come back into those roles, but with awareness, so that we can now choose while we're operating in that role that this no longer serves me. Let me choose otherwise.
Exactly.
Let me be more authentic. Yes. Let me be more honest. Let me say no when I really want to say yes, sure, exactly. I'll do it even though I'm exhausted. Yeah. Let me actually say no. So it's a lot of, I imagine, rewiring and learning.
Yeah.
Learning how to be a different person.
Yeah. One of the things that they said at Onsite, which I just loved, is they make this analogy of 2 degrees, and they basically say, like, if you were on a boat and you like changed course, not 27 degrees but just 2, like if you just like, you know, change the compass direction 2 degrees, if you play that out 50 miles, 1,000 miles, the 2 degree shift, you wind up in a different continent.
Bro, you in Africa now. You thought you were going to listen. Yeah. I was about to be in Athens for a second. Djibouti, here we are.
So yes, that's how powerful, and that's like what's so interesting, is that our mind will say, why even bother? You know, you need to make giant changes to see changes in your life. It's not true. Like also with your body, like I was talking to my friend Casey Means, I interviewed her about her book, Good Energy. And I was like, okay, you're talking about processed food, sugar, all the, like, there's so, sleep, getting good sleep, hacking that. I was like, I can't get it all done. And she's like, Kath, your body so wants to heal. If you just took out one thing, if you just took out like McDonald's from your diet, like you don't like that, you know, not to knock on McDonald's, sometimes a McFlurry is great, but what I'm saying is like
when the machine works sometimes,
right? Sometimes you just roll up and you're like, what do you mean? Like this is like in European vacation when Wally World was closed, you're like, you can't be closed, you can't have no McFlurries. But the point is, we overestimate how hard it's going to be, and we underestimate how much change comes from one little change, which is why I said earlier, before your day gets hijacked, if you could give yourself, as crazy as it sounds, even 90 seconds to say, I'm going to set an intention for today, you're literally going to disrupt that amygdala long enough, 90 seconds, you will have a different day, fully different day. It's like Groundhog Day. Bill Murray goes through the exact same things, but it's a totally different day because he's different and he keeps changing just a little bit. It really is like that. And so, yes, you do go back to your life, but you're not the same.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're not 100% the same, you start to have the awareness of, even when you're in the program again, you go, oh my God, I'm back in the program. And just the awareness of like, I am so codependent that I can't give this person the autonomy to decide. I have to like make sure they're okay, as opposed to telling the truth, you know, like that's, you just start being aware of it. That also changes everything. Just the awareness. Wow. Life is, it's actually awesome how much there is for us to keep growing and like learning. And it's fun. It makes it really fun. It's never dull.
This is so good.
You're so good. I know. This is one of my favorite. As I'm sitting here, I'm like, I think this is my favorite podcast I've ever been on, because you're so available to like just go into the deepest. Like, let's just go. And I'm just like, it's amazing. And you have no agenda. It's not like, okay, so I need to get to this, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, that's like how I asked Guy Raz from How I Built This. Like, I'm like, what makes a great podcaster? And he's like, really listen. Like, do not have your questions. I want you to have no questions. I want you to listen.
Yeah.
And that's a lost art. I feel like you and I, we really, I love to, like, it's actually self, I really want to just listen. Like,
absolutely.
I'm like, you take me, I want, for me, it's like listening to a person is like unwrapping a Christmas present. I'm like, oh my God, all that was in there. Why would I get in the way with my own question when, like, I didn't even know we were going there? That is so much cooler.
Love. I literally had not one question planned today. All it's my only plan was to show you that not only do I love your book, but Rosie also,
oh my God,
loves your book.
It's my fave. She like scribbled all over it. Made it so
abundant ever after. Uh-huh. Tools for creating a life of prosperity and ease. You're the best. And Rosie drew all over it. Did. She's so sweet. Tell me real quick about, you have a new book coming out?
It's that book on paperback.
On paperback. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Because, first of all, when you talked a little bit, and I told you this already when we were on the airplane, when you tell your story about being a sync writer and going in and
love
like
that you
pitching,
know what sync is.
Well, because Manny does sync.
Oh, that's right. I just remember that.
When you were talking about how you approached that, I don't know. It just resonated so hard that I was like, we were on the plane. I was like, babe, you need to like read this page. I didn't want to give him like too much because I'm like, what? So I'm like, just read this one page.
Yeah.
But I really wanted him to like keep going. And he did. He like kept going like page after page. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God, I'm so complimented.
Okay, but I wasn't done yet. Too.
I love when I hear about the husbands that like read the books, because I feel like my book is like pink and yellow, and like I'm kind of talking to women. In fact, like sometimes I'm like blatantly talking to women in the book. I'm saying, okay, I think women should, but then some guys are like, oh no, I took the book.
Oh, 100.
I'm reading it. I'm like, yes.
Tell me what one, if you had to pick like one, no, two, give me two main like messages from your book that you would hope that people would take away from it, and then tell me what have you received after this book has been out, like what have people,
oh, it's been so beautiful, tell me. It's really beautiful. Okay, so the first thing to answer that question is, so when I was 21 and I went to Jerusalem, I was supposed to be there for 3 weeks, and I stayed there for 3 years because I met the most amazing Rabbi David Aaron. He lives in the old city, in King David's city of Jerusalem. He's like the real authentic thing. And he happens to have freckles and red hair. So he's like adorable. And his wife is amazing. And they invited me to stay with them. And she's like so special. And she does like handwriting analysis. And she's like Kabbalistic too. And so deep and so special. And their kids were so cute. I was like, you're kidding, right? And the main answer to that question is the first thing he ever said to me that like completely changed my life. And he said, you're a masterpiece. You're a piece of the master.
Mm.
You're someone because you're some of the one. Right. Ugh. And this idea that every single one of us can be a vehicle for God, can be that literally like God's not judging. Right. It's sort of like if you raise your hand to be available to be an ambassador for light and goodness and whatever, it's like, yep, that gets to be you. Your whole life, you get to be a channel for that, right? Mm. So I say at the beginning of the book that imagine if you had a waffle iron, but you never plugged it in. Mm-hmm. Then it would be this really awkward, weird-looking paperweight. But when you plug it into the electricity, you're like, I get breakfast? So I feel like my first main lesson was, if you're a masterpiece, a piece of the master, when you plug into your connection to, like I said earlier, like ask in the morning, what do you need me to know? You're going to hear an answer. It's like wild. It's like, where did that come from? Because there is a place inside of you that is never not walking connected to your infinite source, to your creator, right? Yeah. So when you plug that waffle iron in, so to speak, inside yourself, you're directed, and you're directed on purpose. You're directed to where like, yes, I needed you at this bus stop because that woman was having a bad day and you were the light there. Yeah, I directed you to sit at that table and have sushi because really I needed you to be there for this couple that was sitting next to you. Or yes, I needed you to meet so-and-so because I needed that opportunity to come to you because I need you to have that podcast because I need you to say these things. And then you realize, oh, I don't have to figure any of this out. He's like moving the chess pieces as long as I'm willing to be available for the miracle. It's amazing. So that was like my first message in the book. And to me, by the way, that is why I say a life of prosperity and ease, because the ease is it's not your business. He's going to figure out all the stuff. Mm. Your job is to know that there's ease when you stop trying to do the thing that's not your job. Stop trying to do that part. Just be available. Like, all right, I'm going to be on the lookout for you today. That's your only job. Mm. Where are you pointing me? Mm. I got you. That's it. That's it. And then when you show up there, it's what I first said. If you knew you're a masterpiece, a piece of the master, would you have imposter syndrome? No, you'd be like, he called me here, so I guess I'm the one.
Wow.
You don't say to yourself, well, I'm not a surgeon, so I guess I can't help. No, no, you're called.
Wow.
So if you're called there, you're going to be like, okay, God, I don't know why you called me. Moses was like, why are you asking me? I can't even talk. I have a speech impediment. He's like, yeah, but you're the guy. He's like, wow. I'm the guy? You picked the wrong guy. He's like, please don't tell me who to pick, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're the one. That's the thing, is most people come to me. You know, we've been doing this show for almost 9 years. We have like 50 million downloads. I get DMs and emails all the time. And the main problem is they're thinking, but who am I to do that? I'm like, that's not your business.
Mm.
He called on you. He qualified you. Stop. Just stop. It's none of your... Imagine if Oprah would have been like, but it's not... It's like, I've got a whole thing coming through you.
Right.
Just move out of the way. And by the way, she was the first person to put God on TV, which is really cool. Because when she was like, we're going to do this whole segment called Remembering the Spirit... Her network was like, that's a hard no. And she's like, let's just try that. And then all of a sudden it was like, Gary Zukav, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson. People were like uh-huh. eating this up. Like coming from this girl in Chicago who's like, imagine if she would have been like, why would you make it come through me? Like, who am I? No one thinks they're anyone. Beyonce mm-hmm. doesn't think she's anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not her business. Mm-hmm. She's been asked, right? So when you know who you are and you plug into the electricity, that was my main like takeaway. That was my main takeaway. And so, yes, what has that done for people? Well, look, not everybody can be convinced of it. Some people read it and they go, I don't buy any of this. I'm so hardwired into thinking I'm nothing. And to actually thinking that that's humility, that I can't even get through the first chapter of this
Say
book.
That again, because that's what I think we have this sense of like false humility.
Yeah, it is false.
And honestly, especially in the church, in Christianity, I feel like there's always this like, oh no, no, it's God. It's not me.
Right.
It's, can you just say it again?
Yeah. I mean, I hear that all the time. It's like the number one block for people. And then I say to them, imagine you're looking at the forest and imagine the redwood tree is like, I don't want to be a redwood tree. I'm so tall. Look at those other things. They're so small. It's like you're playing individual roles. There's a reason. It's none of your business, right? Like, there's a reason Michael Jordan is fast and tall. And when people see him on the court, it's not him that they see. We don't see other people. We see whatever we're willing to see that's inside of us being represented. Mm. So you see what... ever greatness is in you comes alive. So when people love him, what they're really saying is he makes me aware of a possibility. I feel this electricity when I'm watching him play that like reminds me of the greatness in me. It reminds me of this like capacity I have to stretch to for my and same thing with anybody. Like
that's why there's so many couch coaches at home watching the games being like, "Oh, he should have did this. He should have did that." Like and you're like, "Do you got a jersey on, sir?"
Yeah. Yes, sir.
that's what it is, cuz you're right. It's probably making you recognize and see that and just the little fanning the flame.
Right. And also every single wave is connected to every other wave and every wave is the ocean itself.
Mm.
There is nothing but God going on. And so it's like we're in this universe and it looks like you're over there and you're over there, but it's like, no, on behalf of the collective, if this wave rises, it rises all gets to rise. Right. So it's like for you to shrink thinking you're shrinking does something for someone else. No, it's the opposite. Like when you are in an orchestra, just play your notes as loudly and beautifully as you can play. And if you're a triangle, be a triangle. Don't wish you were a cello. And if you're a cello, you're loud, you're big, you were made that way. Don't try to be demure. Like, that's not you. Just be a cello. It's beautiful. And by you just being in integrity as you are, people actually feel right with that. It's when someone resists it that it's almost like awkward. Like if Kate Middleton would be sitting here and I'm like, you're beautiful. She's like, no, really? No. It would be like, just receive what is. You're beautiful. You have elegance. And if she were just to say, thank you. It's just like, oh, all is right in the world. You're being who you were designed to be. good. Mm-hmm. Everything God designed was designed to thrive, by the way. An eagle was designed to soar. Mm-hmm. A tree was designed to grow. The only thing that doesn't live into its design is people. Because we go, well, who am I to be that? Mm. Oh, now you're in charge? I don't understand. You were given that gift. That gift was meant to be given away. What are you doing? Why are you in charge? What are you doing? No, in your humility, be Michelangelo. What did Michelangelo do? He let God be the painter and he was the brush. He said, God, paint through me. And when you walk through the Sistine Chapel, you can't talk. You have to whisper because it's so beautiful that you know God is present. And he was using him as an ambassador for those colors, for that light. And so for you to be like, well, in my humility, I just won't be the person I'm meant to be. Oh, okay. That makes sense. What are you talking about? Like, in your humility, just say thank you. Like, yes, I had nothing to do with this. This was the gift that I was told. This is how you're meant to give this gift away. That's what gifts are for. And just have gratitude, right? And just every single day, be in service. You know, we just went to see Coldplay. That concert was a healing. Like, it was like Chris Martin. I mean, to say that he's in a band or he's a rock star, no. He's on God's team. Like,
he's that, a healer.
That show is, it's so revolutionary. It's so special what he does. And he has you during the show. There's 64,000 people in the audience. He's like, I want you to pick a stranger across this arena and just lock eyes with them and just pray over this person right now. Just wish this person for everything good that could possibly happen on their path. He goes, because you know what that is? That's unconditional love. And for you to give that, he goes, let's all do that right now. And then he's like, put your hands up. And he goes, I want you to pray for Ukraine and Russia and the Holy Land. And I want us to signal that 64,000 people who have different political opinions, different this, we could literally come together and create that kind of electricity. And you're just like sobbing, like, oh my God, who are you? And I realized the reason he can handle being in his greatness is because it's all humility. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, I can handle, because it's not look at me. It's what we talked about before. It's, you guys, let's do this together. Come with me. Wow. Right? I'm going to use whatever I've been given on behalf of a greater mission. And I think when we all do that, whether you're Jim Henson or whether it's you working on behalf of your daughter's class, you came to volunteer, but it's not about you like controlling the other parents. It's you like wanting to collaborate with them and pull out of them what's best for this, what the kids need. It's like the intention creates the effect. And so when the intention, yes, there are some narcissists in the world who the intention is clearly about them. And that's, I think, what the pushback is about. But then there are plenty of other magical people who've moved humanity forward because they were willing in their humility to take a lead on behalf of all of us. And I think that's the distinction. It's like, where is the intention? And how are you setting that intention? That affects how all of it will be digested. Mm. And you can feel it. That's what I was saying about you. You can feel when you're on stage. It's like a love fest. There's no part of you that's like, I am up here to impress you and I need your validation. Like, that's not in your show. Mm-mm. You're like, in fact, I love the way you dress during your show because you're just like, I went to Target with my daughter and I'm here. Uh-huh. So this is me. It's like, you really just need jeans and a striped shirt because you're just that cute. And it's not about, it's not about anything other than, oh, I thought we were just here to hang. So there's this feeling right away of like, oh, we're just having a conversation. And everyone feels relaxed and like on board with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's humility.
Thank you for saying all of that. Just listening to you, I'm reminded of certain things. Like, as we're going on this conversation journey, God's like reminding me of like, oh, remember when you used to do this? You used to say this. And my prayer in the morning used to be like when I was in my 20s, every time I would wake up and I would open my eyes, I would say, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. And I wanted to like you said, show up and be available. Who needs me today? who do I need to say that's a cute shirt?
Yeah.
Give me ears to hear what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And eyes to see what you're showing me.
Yeah.
And then I would say,
that's so beautiful.
I would ask God to move the chess pieces in my life.
Oh my gosh.
And I would, but I would thank him in advance. And I would say, thank you for moving all the people in my path that need to be there. And at the time,
oh my God,
it was a lot, definitely very career minded. Like, oh, I have this audition at the Sony lot today. So thank you in advance for moving this producer on my path while I walk this way, and moving this casting director here while I walk this way. And thank you for moving all the people in my path that need to be there. And showing up and trusting somebody's on this path that needs to see me right now. Somebody's on this path that I need to say hello to. Somebody's on this path. And like listening to you talk right now, it was reminding me of all these things that I was intuitively doing at the time.
It's so good. I feel so blessed to have just heard that. I feel like you just like gave all of us like the pixie dust. I want to tell you a quick story. I think I wrote about this in my book that, so I was a songwriter. I had two record deals. I got dropped from both record deals. Pretty impressive to get dropped from two deals, I think. Anyway, and then I wound up, writing music for film and TV for 10 years. And I had my kids, and I was like being featured in like, I don't know, Billboard and different magazines, like full page stories, because I was writing music as a DIY, like indie artist, and licensing it and making like a decent amount of money doing that. And then I started a podcast because I thought all these people keep asking me, oh, it's not all or nothing. It's not Taylor Swift or nothing. You're making a living doing music. Maybe you should start a podcast. So then I started this podcast. But when I started the podcast, I had no Instagram. I had no nothing. I was a mom with three little girls. And someone told me to go to this conference. And I'm like, why? She's like, because you can like network and like this little podcast that now no one knows about. Maybe you'll like meet some people who like can help get it out there. I'm like, okay. So I'm breastfeeding. My boobs are killing me. I go to Anaheim with like my pump. I'm going to like breastfeed, network. I hate networking. We talked about it before. So I go to this convention center, Podcast Movement. It was like the first or, I don't know, early on in Podcast Movement days. And I'm like walking the lobby like Jerry Maguire. And I'm like, this is not me. And my boobs are killing me. So like, you know, and I say to my friend Emma, who's with me, I'm like, okay, who is like the person though that everyone's trying to meet? Like, what's the big fish to catch? And she's like, Apple Podcast. Like if you meet the people from Apple, that's going to like do wonders for you, because if they liked you, they could put you in New and Noteworthy. And at the time, 75-80% of all podcast listeners were coming through Apple at the time. Like Spotify hadn't yet like done its thing. So she's like, you need to meet the Apple guy. And I was like, I just know like nothing good is happening here while I'm like walking around talking to, hi, I don't have a business card, I don't know what to talk to you about. So I'm like, when does the conference like begin? When did like the content of the concert? She's like, well, in like an hour, like the panel discussion's happening. I'm like, I'll meet you in an hour. So I went to a totally different hotel, two big blocks away, and sit down in this lobby. And I'm like, oh, I feel like relaxed again. Like I just ordered an iced tea, sit down, and all is fine in the world. And this guy is sitting next to me. He has the exact same badge on that I had from the conference. So he's like, were you in the Podcast Movement before? I was like, yeah, I don't do like networking events. I don't know who I am in those rooms. I don't know what to say. I don't know. He was like, I feel the same way. He's like, I'm from the Midwest. You know, I don't know. It's just not me. And I was like, me too. So he's like, do you have a podcast? I said, yeah. He's like, what's it about? I told him. He's like, wow, that's so beautiful. And we just have this like really nice, normal conversation. And then he's like, can I give you my card? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm the head of Apple Podcasts.
Girl, don't do that to me.
Don't you do that now.
Girl, don't give me these goosies.
So I'm like, stop. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I really liked our conversation. It gets better. So then he's like, we have offices. I don't want to say where, but we have offices in LA. The address is on my card. Do you want to come have breakfast with me? And I look at the street name. I go, wait, my daughter's school is on that street, and there's a building that's unmarked with valet parking. Is that you? He goes, yeah, I look at that school every day. I go, I'm there tomorrow. Like, I've been driving, parking in front of Apple, being like, oh, what's that bougie building? With like, and he's like, I work there. I was like, So that's crazy. So he's like, are you going to be there for drop off tomorrow? I go, yes. So I'm like, I'm dropping her off at kindergarten tomorrow. He's like, can you come have breakfast with me? I'm like, uh-huh. Like, God just opened my eye. I was right there. So then he became like my best like cheerleader. And then he's like, do you want to come to the podcast Upfronts in New York? I'm like, mm-hmm. So then I go to New York and then I have this incredible mentor. I didn't have to figure that out, but I couldn't have anyway. And it would have ruined it if I tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason all of this is so awesome is because we're reminding people of how magical magic is. And you forgot somewhere along. When you were six, you remembered, but now you forgot because all these well-meaning adults were like, you have to work hard and you have to strategize. You have to get a marketing plan. You have to have a business coach. And it's like, actually, no. Actually, the way you met your husband, you could never have figured out. Actually, the way we met and why we are actually connected has nothing to do with the podcast. It's because of the spiritual journey we were on, which is why we even met, right? It's like, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Like, he's doing all the math. You just have to get out of the way. So maybe being at the conference and trying to be your most impressive self is not the strategy. Maybe it's like, oh, I don't feel that this is really aligned. Where would I be aligned? I'm going to go get an iced tea. Oh, right. Now you're aligned. You're getting an iced tea. So obviously he's sitting there. Mm. And I have like probably 1,000 stories like that. And so people are like, how do you just make that work? I'm like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
But I'm trusting with certainty. Mm. So there's two words in Hebrew. The word for faith in Hebrew is emunah. And the word for certainty is a highest level of faith. It's bitachon. What does that mean? It means I know with certainty that God's running the world. Which means this universe is not net neutral, it's net positive. Which means it's none of my business. I'm being led all the time. Mm. And if you actually consider that in the morning and say, okay, God, let's play a game. Show me that. Mm. By the end of every day, you're going to be like, how on earth? Can I tell you one more story?
I'm excited. Please. I'm excited. I'm like already like, buzzing. Hurry tomorrow, get here so I can try it.
Right, you can try it today too. So my dad passes away, I told you, last July. And we go through the funeral process and whatever, and there's like a few weeks of like you're just not wanting to like do anything, you're really sad. And then my kids were like, could we leave the house, like it's been weeks. And I'm like, let's go. So we decide we're gonna go see this Minions movie that had just come out, and we'd go to have sushi before, and it was like my first time re-entering the world. So I was like, oh my God, I'm like not myself, like cars are driving too fast, it's loud out here, like I had just gone through a hospice period, and you know, it's weird, the re-entry. Yeah. Sure enough, I'm sitting at this table randomly, right? And I'm sitting at a sushi restaurant, and the best sushi restaurants are like holes in the wall where like you're squished together. So this table next to us is like sitting with us basically. Mm-hmm. So I hear everything they're saying. So I turn to this woman and I go, are you on your first date? And she's like, yes. And
wait, is he still there? Or did he go to the bathroom, her first date?
He was still there.
Okay. Yeah.
Kathy.
Yeah, I know. I go, you guys on your first date? And she's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. I go, you're really cute together. Oh. And then I'm like, can I buy you dessert? And they're like, sure. I go, I just want to like give like energy to this. Like it feels good. Like, let me just like punctuate it. You're
so cute.
I'm sometimes cute. I love this. Sometimes I'm like the worst, but sometimes I'm really cute. So I go, which ice, whatever. So they buy the like, they want the fried Japanese ice cream. Good choice. So we leave, and as we're leaving, she's like, what's your Instagram? I want to like stay in touch. I'm like, sure. So we exchange Instagram information. And a few hours later, she texts me and she's like, that's so nice. Like, thank you so much. That was so sweet. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, are you going to go on a second date? Like, hello, like, come on. Like, that's the information I need. She's like, I don't know if there's going to be a second date. Maybe there is. But she's like, I want to tell you something that you couldn't possibly have known. She said, this is my first date because my husband died. I'm a widow 5 years ago. Mm. And she said, I asked God for a sign because I was so guilt ridden to go on a date. And I said, please give me a sign that like, this is okay. Mm. And she goes, you were my sign. So I said to her, you have no idea what that means to me. I'm like, this is my first night out because my dad just died. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I go, yeah, he died July 3rd. And I mentioned it because it felt relevant. It was a few weeks ago. And she goes, my husband died on July 3rd, 5 years ago. So now I know for sure. So I said, my dad and your husband made that meeting for us. Because what are the odds that out of all the days that's the day. Mm-hmm. So I always pick up my phone when my kids are watching a dumb cartoon. So I'm crying in the Minions movie and they're like, what's so sad? I'm like, I'll tell you after. And we come out of the theater and I say to my kids, you know how mommy, like, sometimes really fun things happen and, like, you know, people celebrate me or I get a book deal or, like, we get to, like, buy a bigger house. I go, but you know what makes me feel so rich? This. I go, what just happened? It's like beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew three things. I knew that God put me at the right place at the right time. I knew that I just had so much purpose. And I knew that something bigger than me is always constantly guiding me and supporting me, which makes me feel the magic of life. And when moments like that happen, tell me that anything else comes close. Like, okay, so your agent calls and says, you got more money for this thing, or yeah, Target's going to do this. And you're like, do you know what just happened at the sushi restaurant? So that's why it's like we live in a world that values this one version of success. And it's like, you know what success is? You just had an impact in someone's life because you were willing to be kind to a stranger for no reason, not because you thought you were going to, you know, get some big Instagram like thing to post because of it. It wasn't because it's going to help your career. It's like we miss opportunities every day. When I was living in Jerusalem, I said to my rabbi, okay, so it's been 2 years and, you know, where's the most spiritual place I can go? Are you going to tell me to go to some cave? Where do I go? What do I? And he's like, oh, I have an address for you. So he writes down an address and he hands it to me. And I mean, there's the most cool things that you can see there. You can go where Jesus lived. You can go where this, there's no end to cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Hands me an address. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like, are you going to give me like a prayer to say when I go there? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you're going to knock on the door and the woman who lives there, she just lost her husband and you're going to offer to do her dishes. Mm. And I start crying and I go, okay, I got it. And he goes, you just asked me, what is the most spiritual thing you can do? It's the next thing you can do. What's the next thing you could do to be a blessing to someone? That's the most spiritual thing you can do. Mm. And I was like, got it. And again, the ego all day long is like, well, how are you going to prove your existence today? Well, how are you going to be impressive today? Well, what are you going to do with your career today? And it's all obsessed with itself. And your soul is like, what am I going to give away today? You know, how am I going to like be a blessing to somebody? And then like little me got to be that meaningful to someone else. So it's like this whole conversation we had about who am I to do this? It's not even about that. It's like the fact that he used me to get to be that for her. I should be like, oh my God, I can't believe you let me be in that moment. That makes no sense. How am I that like blessed, right? The fact that people think they want success. You don't want success. You want significance. How do you get significance? Walk out your house every day and say, when is the next place that you're going to need me? I'm going to have my eyes open for that. And sometimes it's just like being at the DMV and like smiling at someone like they're a real person. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm going to let you cut the line because you just are so nice. You know, it's like, and you don't even need to cut the line. You're just like, oh, this was like easy. You know, sometimes like we just miss the easiest opportunities. And selfishly, we're the recipient of it. Like you're the one who gets this juice from feeling as though like you mattered to that person. Why would you deny yourself that? Right? And them. So that's kind of what the book is about. And at the same time, I'm also like, there's a line in the Talmud that says that when you get to heaven, there's a lot of questions that God is going to ask you at the heavenly gates. And one of the questions is, why did you deny yourself the pleasure that I created in the world for you? Ugh. And so it's like, you're not going to let yourself have the nicer towel? Get the nicer towels. Like I commented that you have Aesop lotion in your bathroom. Like, have it. What are you denying yourself that for? He made it. It's there. Enjoy it. Have a good dinner. Eat healthy food. Take yourself... keep expanding. And God's, when I first moved to LA, I used to go to the Peninsula Hotel and my friends would be like, you've so irresponsible. Like you can't afford to do that. Well, I couldn't afford it on some level, but I couldn't afford not to do it because by going to the spa, the Peninsula Hotel and eating that little biscotti and like the rolled lavender ice towels, I was recalibrating myself to what exists and how much I could actually I could allow myself to tolerate really like living well. And then guess what? It just shows up. Like, you ever have a friend in your life and she just dates guys that treat her horribly and you're like, why? She tolerates it sometimes on some level, right? And then there's other girls, might not even be prettier, but like they have a standard and like life will meet you at that standard. Yeah. It's like, where is your standard? Why are you driving around and your car's got like tape all over it? It's like, well, I don't believe there's anything. No. Like there actually is, right? And you have a resourcefulness, which is your own resourcefulness that can like show you it. If you open your eyes, God's going to show you the next way for you to like up level all of that. Like, meaning to say, the physical reality, you don't have to, what I'm saying is you don't have to choose between, I want to have the blessing of a spiritual life or of material life. It's like, actually, all of that gets to be yours. Yeah. Really, right? Like, we don't need to demonize it. Like, just live a beautiful life and share it. Share it. Be a steward of it.
Wow. So good. Oh, my gosh. I can talk to you for hours and hours. Same-sy. And I have so many more stories that I want to share, and I want to hear more of your stories, more of these miracle stories, because like we mentioned earlier, like when you hear yourself say it, like it just like, you know, fans that flame, and it's so exciting to think about the possibilities of having those magical moments. That magical moment feels more rewarding and rich than I got a new car.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with getting a new car. I want a new car. Yeah. I'll take a new car.
Yeah.
But that doesn't feel like what that 100, feels like.
100.
That feels like purpose. I was used. Yeah. I was a part of a magic recipe. Yeah. I was, whoa, no way. This is, you can't write this stuff. I couldn't have made this up. I couldn't have made this happen. Even if I tried to, I couldn't have made this happen. Those moments, you have inspired me again to go back and remember how I started my day back in that season where I felt like I did have the vision and I did have the woo, 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 and realign with that and start asking myself those questions again in the morning, start asking God those questions in the morning and just making myself available, almost like a fun game. What do you have for me today? What do you have for someone else today?
I love
How are we going to bless someone today and look for it? Mm, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're so cute. I love you. And I love that that is really you. It just is. And it's like, you love that because that is how you, that really is your north and south. And it's why you're here. You know, it's like at the end of the day, all of your success, it comes down to like people like having you around.
Thank you.
Right? Like when you're like the kind, the most impressive person in the room, kindest person, person who's not trying to like be filled up by everyone, but rather like wants to give it. Right.
Yeah.
So that's so cool. And it is a fun game to remember to play, because we all have a mind that like likes to tell us about all the things that don't matter. Like, oh, you're not as thin as you should be, or oh, you know, are you even relevant right now anymore? Or like, and it just sucks all your bandwidth, and you're just like, what's a better use of my thought and brain space? And that whole thing gets you like electrified, because it's the truth. It puts you back in alignment.
Amen. Okay, so you changed your podcast. Tell everybody where they can find you now and hear more conversations like this.
So we went from being Don't Keep Your Day Job for 5 years, and then we were Abundant Ever After, and then I wrote this book called Abundant Ever After, and so that was confusing because there was a book and a podcast. So now it's just the Kathy Heller podcast, which is easy, and we're like 1,000 episodes deep, and it's so fun to meet people in all, like, predominantly we're in 14 countries. We're in all the countries, but like 14 countries, and people will write to me from places like Australia and fly in for like a live event and be like, you don't know me, but like, you're my best friend. And I'm like, no, I am your best friend. Like, let's go. Right. So it's really, really fun. And they can my book comes out on paperback. I find paperbacks are way more fun to read because you can bend them.
Yeah, for sure-sies.
Uh-huh. On 11-11, which is a course just so wild that it's 11-11 because my dad, that was my dad's thing with me. And then the book came out on 11-11. And actually at the back of the book, when my dad was dying in hospice, I was turning in the manuscript that week. And I found an essay my dad wrote about prayer on his desk. Mm-hmm. And it was about going down to the ocean every day and looking at God's majesty and like watching the consistency of the waves and like knowing that God's consistency is like as consistent as the ocean and the tide. It's so beautiful. Wow. I asked Simon and Schuster, I was like, please don't hate me, but can you put this essay at the back of the book? And they did. And so my dad's didn't know. I wasn't able to tell him because he wasn't conscious at that point. Mm. But I was like, Dad, I did tell him, right? And I was like, Dad, this beautiful essay, like anyone who reads this book is going to read it. It's in there. Like, and so if you get the book on paperback, it's at the back of the book. And it's, it all just like works perfectly. Yeah. So.
Incredible.
It's like, we're just along for the ride. It's like watching the Northern Lights. It's like, you're just watching God and you're like, how good is it that I can actually like be like, I know that you do like your gratitude thing. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm aware all the time of how grateful I am just to even have the awareness to be grateful. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's nonstop.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I am grateful for you taking so time out of your schedule to come and sit with me.
Oh my God.
I would share come your single day. Magic with me. Oh, I am blessed by you. I really, really am blessed by you. Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
I'm in awe. Thank you, babe.
I had the best time.
Yay. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Bye.